Let's see, men's retreat, we're leaving tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And I'll have the bus here way before then, so we'll be ready to roll. And what else we got going? This is last week's bulletin, so it looks like everything's in order. The diaper shower downstairs. We thank you, Charles Pierce, for, well, he's not here, for doing the service. And for the other guys, Brother Bill and and Brother Ryan for taking over. And I just had a good time because I didn't have to worry about things. So thank you. All right. We got, there it is. Got a missionary letter tonight from the Garcia family. It says, after 2 months stateside, we're glad to return home. Now, the Garcia family's in Venezuela. And I don't know how many have been keeping or have, know what's going on in Venezuela. It's a mess down there. They nationalized all the oil. They nationalized all the private industry is what happened. And now it's a, inflation went skyrocketing. People are leaving Venezuela, they're into Colombia, and then there's insurrections with the National Guard, and I mean it's a mess down there. And then part of his letter will tell us about the inflation here. It says, Anniversary Sunday. Anniversaries are always a special time to look back at what God has done in our church and hear testimonies of members whose lives have been changed by God's Word. 5 wonderful years at Lighthouse Baptist, and we are excited for many more. Junior camp. 3 young teens from Lighthouse attended camp this year, and despite the high inflated costs, God blessed with an overall attendance of 172. Most of the teens were first-time campers. Many decisions were made this year, including that of Adrian Lennon, one of our boys who accepted Christ as his personal Savior. His heart is so tender, and we look forward to see how God will work in his life. August 21st was an anticipated day for many in Venezuela. It meant radical economic change. We were on edge as the vehicle negotiation was put on hold until the new currency was established. These changes meant the new currency would shed 5 zeros. So they took the currency and they crossed off the last 5 zeros. And new banknotes would be printed to aid cash registers to compute the inflated prices during checkout. However, no one could have imagined the impact these changes would cause. Not only did President Maduro change the currency, but he also implemented new laws that will further cripple the country, such as raising the minimum wage to a staggering 5,900%. I don't know 5,900% of what, but maybe what it was used to be, I don't know. As well as the price of gasoline, for those who do not hold the pro-government ID, by 1,500%. These changes that would have taken place on September 1st have already caused chaos throughout the country. People are attempting to stock up on food before price hikes hit, while businesses are closing to avoid losses. No one knows for sure what the remainder of the year will bring. VBS, this year's VBS, How to Be a Superhero, was a record breaker for Lighthouse Baptist Church. Many of our people were involved, and excitement filled their hearts as they gained hands-on experience. Our average attendance for children's church had been 15 on Sundays. Day one of VBS, we had 42. And by Friday, the attendance had increased to 72. Sunday morning for the close of VBS, we saw another record-breaking group with 65 total. First-time visitors, including the parents who came to see what their children had learned that week. God is so good. Senior camp. Each camp is so encouraging to us because we get to see the transformation of these young adults throughout the course of the week as they focus on God and turn away from the world. A different character was this year's emphasis. The messages challenge our youth to trust God and be the difference here in Venezuela. A real struggle for most, since many have fled the country in hopes of a better life. Many made decisions, and our prayer is that they remain true to God's call. Prayer requests: spiritual growth for Adrian, who just got saved. Church growth. We've already been informed by two of our families that they're leaving the country before the end of the year. Safety and wisdom during the month of September concerning the food purchases and fuel. Wisdom about the church vehicle. And your missionaries to Venezuela, Hector and Erica Garcia. So, we will pray for the Garcias when we pray for the message, which is right here. If you would please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. aside from last week, we've had 3 weeks of the place of divine appointment concerning Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Relating that to us today here in Helena, Montana, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for you individually, as God had to plan for Abraham at an appointed place. That a place is appointed or ordained by God. It's His desire for each and every one of us to be in His, not our appointed place, but in His divinely appointed place. That place is the safest place, the pleasing place where we can please God. It is the perfect place to be in that divinely appointed place. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 reads, By faith, and I emphasize the third time, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. That's the place of divine appointment. We go there by faith and we obey. We then looked at the self-appointed place in Genesis chapter 11 where they built the tower. And that place, that self-appointed place, is a selfish place. It's a self-centered place. Hey, it's a self-appointed place, and it involves pride. And pride will drive us to do things we never thought we would do. Pride will drive us to self-ambition, where we'll forget God like they did building the tower. We'll waste our time and our resources. We'll try and build a name for ourselves and forget about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross. We saw Abraham in the place of divine appointment in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, speaking of the Abrahamic covenant and how he was in the promised land. And when we're in that divinely appointed place in the will of God, we went over different things about finding the will of God. Pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. Read our Bibles, because God will not divinely appoint us a place that's contrary to the Word of God. We can rationalize. We can go through all kinds of things in our mind to say, well, it's okay, and making an exception, but God's not going to do that. Pray and listen to the Holy Spirit and find peace, what He has for us. Read the Word of God. Look for providential circumstances and listen to the counsel of others. Seek the counsel of others. Then we saw Abraham, the last time we discussed, his leaving the divinely appointed place. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went where? Down into Egypt to sojourn there, and a famine was grievous in the land. Abraham left the place of divine appointment. Abraham's faith had wavered to a point where he didn't trust God. He trusted his own devices, went down into Egypt. And of course, we know that Egypt, a lot of times, is used synonymously as an illustration of the world. There was a famine in the land, and a lot of times there's famines in our land. There's famines in our divinely appointed place. Well, how can that be? If God divinely appoints a place for us, how can there be problems in that place? Because it's called life. Each of us can look at circumstances and situations in our families, at our jobs, relationships, our health. But we know this, Jesus does not lie. God is a God that cannot lie. And Jesus said there will be tribulation. Abraham left that place. And it's all the more reason, with these famines and things in our life, it's all the more reason to trust God. But that new place, going down out of God's divinely appointed place, is the wrong place. Why is it the wrong place? Because we looked at, you will trust in the wrong confidence. Abraham ended up lying about his wife being his sister, or his wife being his sister, so that he wouldn't get his head lopped off. And God had to speak to Pharaoh and say, hey, this is Abraham's wife. And so a lost man had to point out Abraham's problem to him. You'll trust in the wrong confidence. You'll have the wrong companions. You'll be in the world. You will submit to the wrong commander. When you leave the divinely appointed place, you will submit to the wrong commander. And that commander is you. I think all of us could agree that most of our problems are self-induced. Most of our heartaches and headaches are caused by us, because we listen to ourselves and we stray from the Word of God. And that wrong place has consequences. When Abraham left Egypt, he brought Hagar, the handmaid, and ended up having a kid, Ishmael, with Hagar. And there have been problems ever since with the Arabs. The most miserable man is a Christian out of the will of God. The most miserable man on the face of the earth is a believer out of that divinely appointed place, because we went down. And we settled for second best. Praise God. We'll look at Genesis chapter 13. This is entitled Returning. Returning to the place of divine appointment. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham went down out of Egypt. Huh? Abraham went up. He's returning to the place where God wants him. He's returning to the place where God called him at first. He's returning to the place where by faith he sojourned. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, from the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. And it just seems like we do our own traveling when and where we want to, and we thank you, Lord, for never moving, for being that rock that we can return to. Dear God, we ask you to please forgive us of our sins tonight. Cleanse us clean, O Lord. We thank you for your promise. And we ask, Lord, that you be with Hector Garcia and his family. All those people in Venezuela not knowing where to turn. I pray that maybe this time of trouble, that they would turn to you. And we thank you that you have a man among, I'm sure, many, but we're thinking specifically of Mr. Garcia. But you have a man there that will preach the Word of God and give people hope, give people eternal life. We thank you for dying for us, Lord, and giving us hope. help us to not leave. For those of us who have left, help us to return to the center of your will. We ask these things and we praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. The spiritual stripes of sin, or the spiritual wounds of sin, are healed by the stripes laid upon our Savior. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and the bishops of your soul, the bishop of your souls. Abraham went back. He went back to the land of promise. He went back to the land, to place of appointment. He went back to the beginning. Look at verse 3, if you will. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, unto a place where his tent had been at the beginning. And getting back took effort. He just wasn't just transferred there out of thin air. It took effort. I don't know how many miles it would be. 100, 200 miles by foot. Getting back took humility. Hey, look, getting back to the God's appointed place takes humility, because we have to admit that we disobeyed. We have to admit that the place we're at is not the place God wants us to be. And we have to admit that we've sinned and that we're not all what we should be or could be for the cause of Christ. And getting back involved sacrifice. What happened when Abraham went back? Well, no, let's look at this again. To Bethel, even where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Hai, there is Ai. Remember Ai in the book of Joshua? I looked up, we know Bethel is the house of God. I looked at Hai, what does that mean? That means a heap or a ruin. So he went back to the place where he was appointed. But you know what? We're just not that far from being a heap or a ruin, aren't we? One wrong decision can change our universe. What happened when Abraham went back? Look at verse 1. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. His whole family was back on course. His finances were back on course. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And I don't want to stand here and say, hey, when we get back to God's appointed place, he's going to make us very rich materially. But what I can say, and I think all of us from experience have seen, is that we've seen some people get into a rut of not following God, and their finances become a ruin. And his future was back on course. God was able to communicate with Abraham. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram. The Lord was able to communicate and talk to Abram. And that after that, Lot was separated from him. Lift up thou thine eyes and look from a place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. God was able to communicate, and God was able to fulfill his promises to Abraham. Verse 15 and 16. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And in this place of divine appointment is where Abraham, then his faith was tested once again with the sacrifice of his son. What does that mean to us tonight? To return to God's divinely appointed place. Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto that place where his tent had been at the beginning. Every one of us that can name the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we remember the time, the place, when we first trusted Christ as our Savior. Remember that time? I remember I was in Great Falls in a little itty bitty studio apartment. I was at the side of my bed. And I wept. And the burden of sin had been lifted up off my back. I didn't even know it. I didn't know what the Bible said, but I know that God spoke to me, and I know that I had my sins forgiven that night in Great Falls. And I remember saying, I'll do anything for you, Lord. I was so thankful. I was so grateful. I wish I could go back where my tent was at the beginning. Never experienced joy like that ever before in my life. Never experienced that burden lifted. Never experienced that closeness with God. That night I first got saved. Verse 4, under the place of the altar where he had made there in the first, and Abraham called on the name of the Lord. How many of us tonight would like to get back to where we were? Oh my goodness, life was a lot better back then. I don't know what happens. I do know what happens. Same thing that happened to Abraham. We get a little famine or a little something going, and we're right back to the world. Me and my little brother were talking about different things, and none of us are immune. It takes one click on Craigslist, and we're in the world, buddy. Just like that. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten our place of divine appointment. But we're in the midst of desire. We're in the midst of covetousness. We're in the midst of the world. We're no different than Abraham. Wouldn't it be good to go back to Bethel, the house of God? I'm not talking about a church building, the house of God tonight. I'm talking about my old buddy Beaver says you don't know someone unless you share a sack of flour with them. And to be back in the house of God, dwelling intimately with God, dwelling intimately with Jesus Christ, sharing a meal, sharing good times, sharing bad times. Across the kitchen table. But it takes effort. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confessing sin is not easy. But forsaking sin is even more difficult. Follow me? It takes humility to confess, hey, I messed up. But how many of us can say that when we promise, I'll never do that again, we're setting ourselves up for failure? Let's go to hold our place here, and we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start in 16. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, but he quotes he quotes scripture out of Leviticus. And we'll start at verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Otherwise, we're going down, right? We're going down in Egypt. And for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Why are we the temple of the living God? Because the Holy Spirit dwelleth within us. And how long does he dwell with inside us? Forever, according to John 14, Romans chapter 8. And we are the temple of God. This is a tent. And he says, the temple of the living God, as God has said, now he quotes Leviticus, I will dwell in them and walk in them, talking about the people of God, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Isn't that something? Returning to the divinely appointed place, God will receive us. He's not going to cast us out. He's not going to scoff at us. He's not going to make fun of us. He's not going to say, well, I told you so. He'll simply receive us when we come back. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you and shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It takes effort. How many of us have worked on vehicles before and you end up a grease up to your elbows or shoulders? You walk in the house, want to give the wife a hug and she don't want to hug you. So you go out to shop and you get the goop and you put the goop on. I don't like that orange stuff. It doesn't work as well as goop. Is it goop? I don't even know what we call it, goop. It don't matter. What's that? Goop? It's a goop? Yeah, good. And then you come in and you wash the goop off and you end up fairly well clean. But I will say this. You can work on your vehicle, have grease on your fingers, and you can go to the Suds Hut and eat chicken. And that grease from the chicken works as good or better than goop. Huh? And it doesn't, what, the chicken or the goop? How many know what I'm talking about with the chicken grease? It comes right, it brings it right. Nonetheless, we're getting off on a chicken trail. It takes effort, though. It takes effort to cleanse ourselves. We have to be cognizant of it. It's hard to say I'm sorry. The older I get, though, it's getting easier, but it's still not easy. Need to humble ourselves before God and say I'm sorry. Like I said, confessing sin and forsaking sin, two different things. Getting back or returning to the appointed place takes effort, takes humility, and it takes sacrifice. Abram built that altar. Let's go back to chapter 13 of Genesis. Under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of God. It takes sacrifice. Reading the Word of God. And I don't want to sound unspiritual, but it takes time to read the Word of God. That 10 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes in the morning to read the Word of God and to completely read the Bible in a year, that 20 minutes is not easy. It should be. If we were at the place back at the beginning, it'd be a breeze. But we've immersed ourselves in the world. We've immersed ourselves into another place other than that divinely appointed place. And so it makes it that much harder to read the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not going to ask for something that's completely unreasonable. Be not conformed to this world. Don't go down to the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and that is in God's divinely appointed place. Present yourselves. It's voluntary. God isn't going to twist our arm. He's going to drag us back to the place. He didn't drag Abram back to the place. Abram went on his own volition. Present yourselves. Acceptable is means agreeable or pleasing. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Finding the perfect will of God in that appointed place. What will happen when we return like Abraham returned? Your relationship with your family will get back on course. Listen to me. Your relationship will get back on course. It will maybe not be perfect. But wouldn't it be nice for the whole family to be on the same spiritual page? Well, you don't understand my wife or my husband. He or she doesn't, it doesn't matter. We got to keep our own camp clean first. And if we keep our camp clean, things will fall into place. I know that there's some renegades out there, but still in all, at the very least, is it going to hurt? We'll go back to our verse. Wherefore, come out among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Especially as the husband, the head of the household. If we return to God's appointed place, our wife and our kids will see the results of us returning, and they'll want what we got. Your future will be back on course. Like I said before, it doesn't mean there's no hurts, no heartaches, no headaches, no trials. But it means that you'll have a divinely appointed purpose in your divinely appointed place. We serve a risen Savior. If we're serving ourselves, then we left God's divinely appointed place. If we're serving anybody or anything except our Lord Jesus Christ, we've already left that place. And God's given us a purpose here. God's given us a reason to exist. God's given us a reason to be here tonight. And that's to serve a living God. Serve the resurrected King. To point others to Jesus Christ. What better, what higher calling is there than to point others to Jesus Christ? I can't name one. I still can't name one. Because we're talking about forever. Your future will be back on course because you won't have to be plagued with a life of regrets. The world is full of I was gonna, or if I I should have, or if I only would have, or I wish I would have. The world's full of that. But if we return to God's divinely appointed place, there'll be fewer regrets. I've never regretted serving the Lord. Never. I've regretted not serving Him at times. Our future will get back on course because God will be able to communicate with us. We should be listening to the Lord and not to the world. We should be listening to the Lord and not to ourselves. I'm full of big ideas, great ideas. But it seems like they never work like they should. No. I've been to that place recently. Like I shared with some here tonight. I've been to that place, that self-appointed place. Nothing against vacations. I had a great time. I had a wonderful time. Experienced things I'll never experience again. It was great. But parallel to that, it was a self-appointed place. I spent 10 days on the hill with my little brother. And nothing against my little brother. But it was lonely. You know why it was lonely? Because I wanted to pray. You're hiking or riding, you want to pray, but it's not the same. Because God seems so far away. I never did devotions or read the Bible because we were getting home after or getting to camp after dark, and then there's certain things that have to be done. And you get up and there's things that have to be done. We are primitive camping. We are in survival mode. And unfortunately, I did not make time to read the Word of God or have alone time with the Lord. And it was very lonely. The self-appointed place. We got home early Sunday morning and had to get some things done. And I was able to take time in the morning. I read 10 pages in the Bible. I'm a little behind on my goal. But I actually started humming again. We listened to some Christian music while we were working Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, it was completely different. I had returned Sunday, maybe not to the appointed place, but I got awful close. I realized what I missed. I don't want to be in that self-appointed place. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to long to have that fellowship with the Lord that I missed. I don't want to be there. You know, all the people around you have loads of fun, but it is lonely. And I'm glad God received me, without question. I didn't have to wonder. He loves me. He wants to have me back. He wants to commune with me. He wants to talk to me. He wants to listen to me. But it's awful hard being away from that place. I know life is busy, and I know jobs take take a lot of time, and I know recreation takes a lot of time. I know those things, and I'm not here to say we shouldn't do any of those things, but what I am here to say is those things can take us away from the place where we should be. We find ourselves going down, immersed in the world, wrong companions, wrong commander, and then we suffer consequences. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. I'm 53 years old. When I was Justin's age and Dave's age, I thought 53. I'm not saying was old, but I'm saying when a guy's 53, you got it made. Because you know who you are. You know where you're at. You know where you're going. I can't wait to be 53. Then I'll have arrived. I still don't know. Life is still full of questions. But I know where I should be. I should be in the will of God. And I should seek His will. And seek His face. And continually praise Him for not giving up on me. And I should obey Him. Is it easy to obey the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I don't know about you, but sometimes it ain't very easy. It should be. We're something, aren't we? And Jesus died for us. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But like the song says, we know who holds tomorrow. We know who's got us in His hand. We know what His purpose is for us. We don't have to ask. There are certain things we don't have to pray about. We don't have to, God, what is Your purpose for me in my life? We know what His purpose is. His purpose is to glorify Him. His purpose for us is to tell the world how Jesus loved them and died for them and rose again. And how they can have eternal life. We don't need to pray about that. God has a purpose for us. Now, as far as our place, the will of God, we need to seek that. Look for that. Diligently know that we're in that place that God has ordained for us. But it takes faith. Because the world has a lot to offer. And so it takes faith to step back and, you know what, I want to do what God says. We need to return to God's appointed place. Is it just me or I'm alone, am I alone in this? We need to return where a tent was at the beginning, where we would do anything. Whatever You want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Because we were that thankful for what He did for us on the cross. Let's return to that appointed place. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we ask You to please forgive us of our sins. And dear God, please give us the grace to forsake our sins. We thank you, Lord, for putting up with us. We thank you, Lord, for receiving us. Dear God, I pray I not leave the appointed place. Thank you for giving me purpose. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for giving me hope, putting that peace that passes all understanding in my heart. Thank you for your word that we can read without doubt. And all the promises you have for us. Thank you for helping us and giving us the ability to understand what's going on in this world. And giving us that spiritual perspective that we can maintain that peace. Dear God, please help us. Help us to go out and fulfill your purpose for our lives. Tell others about Jesus and to glorify you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.